Hey, y'all, please pray with me. Lord God, I remember very well 6 years ago going through divorce care myself and sitting in these chairs, chairs similar to these, and Lord, feeling so broken and hopeless and weary and rejected and ashamed. And God, I'm reminded of that time then. And I know now, God, what you do and the way that you bring life and peace as we walk with you. And so, Lord, I pray for my friends here tonight that you would do what you did for me in their lives and that you would give them grace right now in their pain and that you would sustain them and that you would speak truth over them and lead them, Lord, through this. Thank you, God, and I pray tonight that as I share, they wouldn't hear my opinions or thoughts, but that they would hear your word, which is truth, which gives life. We love you, Lord. Amen. The week I found out about the affair, I loaded my shotgun, put the barrel in front of my face, and laid my finger on the trigger. I wanted to see if I could actually go through with it. My plan was to get revenge and then kill myself. Almost overnight, my life had lost all purpose and worth, and I wanted to die. A couple of nights later, I destroyed the contents of our house in a drunken rage. Anything that had a memory attached to it got smashed, cut up, doused in black paint, and thrown out in the backyard. But I had a glint of conviction. I called my lawyer and asked, "Before you file for my divorce tomorrow, what does the Bible say about this?" He pointed to one verse, and that was enough for me. I told him, "Great, proceed with the divorce filing." The fact that I had no idea what the Bible said about marriage and divorce is a sad but true commentary on the state of my life. I had placed my faith in Jesus at a summer camp, when I was a kid, but since the age of 18, had lived a completely hypocritical and rebellious life. By my mid-20s, I was a functional alcoholic chasing my career and the next logical step in life, getting married. I kissed a girl at a party, and within 2 months, we were having sex and completely, physically infatuated with one another. It felt like love, and thus we got married. She was not a follower of Jesus, and frankly, neither was I, though I claimed to believe in him. From the outside, our marriage and love looked ideal by the world's standards. Fun, travel, gifts, nice home and cars. But on the inside, it was rapidly decaying and had no foundation. I thought that she would satisfy me and make me happy. And she did for a season. But ultimately, she didn't. Inevitably, she would disappoint me or not meet my unrealistic expectations. And I didn't know it then, but nothing except God could ever satisfy me. Thus, a blend of resentment, disenchantment, and indifference began to fade my love for her. I started giving more and more of my time and attention to that which I thought would also make me happy. I sought after money, status at work, and the escape that alcohol gave me from stress and anxiety, typically drinking half a gallon of scotch on most weekends. I had no ability or desire to handle conflict resolution, and so while we never actually fought, the bitterness and resentment became toxic. I remember her saying to me, "I don't feel like we know each other anymore," to which I would list all of the things I knew about her and would horribly invalidate her feelings. She was then communicating to me that I was emotionally absent. Of course I was. I was totally devoid of God's influence in my life. I had no knowledge of his word, and I loved my sin. In my eyes, I was, quote, a good husband, but I was using the world's standard. Had I used God's standard of what a loving husband looked like, I would have failed on every account. After finding out about my wife's affair, I moved out and was drunk for about 3 months. One night, I slept with a woman who was also going through a divorce. This was the death blow for me. I had just committed adultery, the very sin that was tearing me apart, and I had become what I hated. This led to a three-week binge that ended in a family intervention and detox during the Christmas of 05. A week later, I was in a recovery program and quickly began going through the 12 steps. Step 3 is to surrender your life and will over to the care of God. So I hit my knees. I gave everything I had left in my life over to Jesus. My days, my relationships, my career, my life, everything. And I asked him to save me from my sins. And everything changed. Joy and peace, purpose, hope, and love flooded into my life, even though my circumstances were still the same. And I went from being hell-bent on divorce to having a different perspective. Before, I thought I had grounds for divorce and I was going to move forward ASAP, but now my life was not my own anymore. Galatians 2:20 says, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." So now my desire was to do what God wanted me to do. I was no longer Lord of my life. Now Jesus was. I remember praying often, "God, I don't want to take her back, but I'll do what you want me to do." And so I became open to God's will and desired to follow him, even if that meant a difficult path. And I began scouring my Bible, looking for everything God had to say about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And so I read the Bible, I prayed, I talked to people who knew God and his word, and I waited and waited. Before my true surrender to Jesus, I had found my silver bullet text that divorce was justified in Matthew 19 because of adultery. But I had totally disregarded all the other scriptures about marriage. And so as I searched, I couldn't believe all that God had to say about marriage once I did start looking. I found in Malachi 2 that God calls marriage a covenant, and that covenants are for life. Many people were quick to point out to me also in Malachi 2 that God hates divorce. And please hear me say, he does not hate divorced people. He loves divorced people. But because of God hating divorce, I felt so ashamed, like my divorce was the unforgivable sin and somehow the only sin that God hated. And so in a strange way, I was comforted to find in Proverbs 6 that God also hates pride and lying and violence and people who create dissension. I was surprised to find God's empathy for covenantal unfaithfulness in Jeremiah 3 and Isaiah 50 as God himself divorced Israel for the country's adultery to worshiping false gods. But even after that, only after years and years of patience, forgiveness, restoration that ultimately ended because of Israel's unrepentant sin. I saw with fresh eyes in Matthew 1 that Mary's husband, Joseph, is recorded as being a righteous man because he made plans to divorce Mary quietly rather than subjecting her to public disgrace because of perceived adultery. I found 1 Corinthians 7 to be sobering regarding the explicit directives about not divorcing. But if one were to divorce, the options were reconciliation or singleness. I found Romans 7 to be black and white, describing that marriage is final unto death. And I gained God's perspective about that lifelong, invisible connection between husband and wife from Luke 12 and Mark 10. As it says that a second marriage can actually be adultery if it follows an unbiblical divorce. I was convicted by Ephesians 5 that told me if I didn't care for my wife, it was the same thing as me hating myself and my own body. I was saddened to learn from Malachi 2 and 1 Peter 3 that prayers and worship are hindered for the man who is harsh and unfaithful with his wife. And so after all my examining of the scriptures, I found that according to God, marriages can only be broken by adultery, abandonment of a non-believer, and death. And so I could no longer just look to my one verse about divorce, but had to know all God had to say about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And so after more than a decade of disobeying God, the last thing I wanted to do was intentionally disobey him yet again in such a serious matter. And although I didn't feel love for my wife anymore, I didn't want to take her back and couldn't imagine ever being with her again, I knew that I had at least had to be open to it. But after more than a year of she being with another man, I finalized the divorce. After the divorce, I continued searching the scriptures, seeking counsel and praying and waiting. Ephesians 4:32 says to forgive as you've been forgiven by God in Jesus. So I forgave her and the other man, and I felt not only freedom from bitterness and hatred, but I actually began feeling concern and compassion and sympathy for them both. And through that forgiveness, God totally changed my heart for both of them. And now I was intent on them knowing God and his peace. I became very heavy-hearted about where they stood with God and thus where they would spend eternity. So I shared with her multiple times that we were created to be in relationship with God, but our sin has separated us from him, and that unless we're reconciled to him in this life, we will spend eternity separated from him in the next. And so God, out of his great love for us, sent Jesus, his son, to this earth to live a perfect life, die the death that we deserved, and then raised him from the dead, showing that Jesus was God in flesh and not just a man. And that faith in Jesus is the only way to be made right with God. I told her that we simply needed to cry out to God and place our faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, asking him to be our Lord and Savior, and that God would wash us clean and not make us better, but make us new, a new life in Christ. I also asked her for her forgiveness for me for being a horrible excuse of a husband and a drunk. And I also sent a baby shower gift for her and the other man's child. All this, and just so you know, not one iota of me wanted to or felt like being with her again. But I did this because God called me to it, and I was able to do it joyfully. Ultimately, she and this man married and had a family. And it's clear from Deuteronomy 24 that even if they were to divorce someday, it would be detestable to God for us to ever remarry now that she was with another man. This is God's word, and it gave me total closure. Earlier, I was haunted by the perceived disapproval by others, shame and mistrust. I thought no one could ever love me again because of my past. I believed that I was damaged goods. And I thought I could never serve in a church or be used by God because of my sin, I had somehow been blacklisted with my divorce. And in all of this, I was entirely, entirely wrong. And so I want to blatantly disarm the lie that I believed and that you might be believing, that God doesn't have any plans or use for divorced people. It's a lie. The truth is, if you were a follower of Jesus, single, married, or divorced, you are in full-time ministry for Jesus every hour of every day with every person you encounter. And he has huge plans for you in your life today, no matter what your circumstance or where you work. And so while I work at a church, some of you are able to reach people who were never set foot in a church. And remember what I said that in addition to God hating divorce, he also hates pride, lying, and violence, and people who stir up dissension? Well, that, P.S., perfectly describes the Apostle Paul's life before he met Christ. God hated what Paul did prior to meeting Jesus. And I think we would all agree that he was still radically used by God in spite of his past sin. Because he was not defined by his past. He was defined by his relationship with God through Jesus. And that can be your story too. To not be defined by your past, but to be defined by your relationship with Christ. So after 5 years of seeking hard after God, restoring personal purity, and very, very little dating, God intersected my life with another follower of Jesus, a sweet, loving, godly woman who loved me more because of my story and God's redemption in my life. Laura is God's tangible grace in my life, but she doesn't fulfill me. Only God can and does. She has a fierce love for God and people, and I'm blessed to be her husband, and I will be her husband until death. Even if the unthinkable were to happen and one of us were to have an affair or abandon one another, we will never divorce. We will die married because that's what God's will is. And if we screw it up, we'll look to him, his people, and his word to find healing. I see things differently now and know that with God, all things are possible. My name is John Elmore, and I'm a follower of Jesus Christ who went through a divorce and have seen God's powerful redemption and restoration in spite of my past. And I pray the same for you. And so tonight, friends, my encouragement would be to follow God through his word, even when it hurts. Because God promises, and I know now it to be true, your life will be more full of peace, joy, contentment, and purpose than you could have ever imagined as you follow him through his word with his people. Thank you for letting me share.